Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. My name is Jacob Avila, and I'm joined by Mike Pratz and Cray Bolger.
Good morning.
Hello.
So today, what we're going to discuss is this amazing article. I'm super excited about this. It's entitled Point of Care Lung Ultrasound of Children with Acute Asthma Exacerbations in the Pediatric ED. And that was published in 2017 in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine. Now, a little bit about the background of this. We love lung ultrasound because it's so easy, it's fast. And one of the things that I always say is one of the limitations of lung ultrasound is that we have a hard time with asthma and we have a hard time with COPD because there's not necessarily an ultrasound finding that is specific for those things. But what this study did is they basically looked at asthma patients and tried to see what ultrasound findings they were able to elicit.
So in this study, they had one sonographer who was doing lung ultrasound who was reportedly a novice. They did a few proctored scans, about five or so, and went to a two-day course. So I think that's pretty good qualifications for being a novice. What they used is a linear probe. They used six zones, anterior, mid-axillary, and posterior chest, kind of lung setting, so THI off, and they did five-second clips for each zone.
That's a point I think we should just elucidate a little bit for some of our more novice sonologists. When you're scanning the lungs, recognize that a lot of what you're seeing as in terms of pathology is an artifact. So therefore you have to turn off some of the things on your machine that are trying to take away all your artifacts. So this can be your harmonic settings or other sort of machine specific settings that are trying to make your image better. They might actually hurt you when you're looking at things in the lung.
And that's especially true with a linear probe, I found. Like with a curvilinear probe, sometimes you don't have to change that much, but with a linear probe, you definitely have to take all the extra stuff off.
Yep. And as if that wasn't confusing enough, if you see certain pathology, you actually want those filters back on. So any solid pathology, consolidation, et cetera, pleural effusions, you want those filters back on to best visualize those pathology.
If it's something that's really there, then you want them on. If it's something that you're seeing secondary signs through artifacts, then you want them off.
So again, this is a convenient sample. They were recruited during very convenient business hours of 2 to 10 p.m. only on Monday through Friday. The patients had to have asthma, and they actually had to have moderate to severe asthma, so they had to have a pretty high PRAM score, which is an asthma severity test, to be included in this study. Then they scanned, and if they had positive findings, that they had greater than 3 B lines, parenchymal consolidation, pleural line abnormality, which I think we need to discuss what exactly that means, pleural effusion, and absent lung sliding. It was considered a negative study if none of those findings were present, they had lung sliding, and they had A-lines present. It was interpreted by the novice sonographer and an expert overreading the scans who was studied blinded to the actual findings in the patient. They used the expert's interpretation as essentially the gold standard in this case. They also got the standard workup, so chest x-ray if necessary. They looked at length of stay, vital signs of the patient, and any other blood results, such as blood gas, blood complete blood counts, etc. They further divided this patient population up into two separate age groups, age 2 to 5 and age 6 to 17, which I think is important for discussion points later.
Let's talk about what they found now. They enrolled a total of 60 patients. And to talk about the population a little bit, of those 60, 45% had positive ultrasound in some way. So 90% of these patients were diagnosed with only asthma as their final emergency department diagnosis. 10% were diagnosed with asthma plus a pneumonia. So looking at some of their primary results here, of the patients in the asthma-only group, 41% of those had a positive lung ultrasound. And that's compared to 85% in the asthma-slash-pneumonia group. Well, that is also a small population. There's only six people in that group. So be careful about how you interpret that. The results were not statistically significant. The most common finding in these patients was B-lines. 38% had B-lines, and then after that, consolidation and pleural abnormalities. Let's get to some of the more important findings. So a positive lung ultrasound in these patients was correlated with a longer stay. By that, I mean more patients in the positive lung ultrasound group had an ED length of stay greater than 8 hours, 30% compared to 9%. In addition, there was more chest x-rays that were performed in the patients with positive lung ultrasound. That one was not statistically significant. There was more antibiotics when the lung ultrasound was positive, and there was more admissions when the lung ultrasound was positive.
Mike, I just want to clarify one thing. The guy doing the lung ultrasound, did he tell the treating physician? Were they the same person? Or is the lung ultrasound separate from everything?
He was not the treating physician.
He was separate.
Right. That's right. So I think that's an important point, right?
I mean, I didn't realize that was a trick question. That was a rhetorical question.
I wanted to make sure you had read the article, Mike.
Oh, shoot.
No. It was just because, like, I think that kind of matters. And I don't remember you having said that in the past. That it was like the treating physician was blinded to the ultrasound findings. Did you say that before and I just wasn't paying attention?
Methods was not my section, bro.
I think I did.
Oh, snap. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
No, that's great. So actually, there was no patients that had no ultrasound findings that required admission. That was a bit confusing. Let me rephrase it.
If you had a normal lung ultrasound,
yes,
you did not get admitted. In this patient study.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
There we go. Okay, they actually calculated the test characteristics for lung ultrasound in predicting admission and found that it was 100% sensitive and only 63.5% specific. And that's because, like we just noted, that no one that had a negative ultrasound got admitted. Interestingly, when they broke it down by the age groups that they had elected to do previously, they had more positive ultrasounds in the younger age group. Those were less than 6 years old. And that was a difference of 67% versus 23% in the older kids. They did look at a kappa, how well the study sonographer compared to the expert sonographer, and that was 0.93.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty solid after just a little training there.
High five, newbie.
Yeah, and the only other thing that I wanted to say is that when they looked at the cases that were diagnosed with asthma and pneumonia, which was only 6 cases, 2 of those had a negative lung ultrasound. So in this study, ultrasound was not that sensitive for ruling out pneumonia, although this is only 6 cases, so it's hard to hang your hat on anything there. All right, Craig, do you want to tell us a little bit about some of the questions that this study brought up or some limitations we can discuss?
So I think as we discuss the limitations and kind of the take-home points from this article, I think one thing that, having worked at a pediatric hospital for a significant portion of my training, a lot of these patients don't traditionally get chest x-rays. You know, you come in with known asthma and an exacerbation. It's rare that they get an x-ray unless you look really sick. I think lung ultrasound can help maybe make that decision. So using it as a screen, if your lung ultrasound's positive, you probably should lean towards getting further imaging in these patient population, as they often have concomitant diagnoses or potentially could have concomitant diagnosis of pneumonia. One of my concerns with this study was it didn't take into account all asthmatic patients who are presenting to the ED. They had to be pretty severe exacerbation before we started looking for other things. You know, their PRAM score was pretty high, so they already were a sick patient population. So we're definitely biasing who we're looking at.
That being said, only 8% were categorized as severe asthma. Most of these patients fall into the moderate category. So that is another thing that you could consider. They were sicker than the usual, you know, mild patient that comes in. They probably don't need to be there. But they're not quite as sick as the people that are getting intubated or,
yeah,
you know, put on non-invasive positive pressure.
And I'm actually okay, like me personally, I'm actually okay with them excluding the mild asthmatics, because I'm not sure if they're mild, I'm not sure the ultrasound finding would change anything.
Agree.
And I love ultrasound, but I don't use ultrasound on all my patients.
No, I don't use it on my healthy patients.
Right, and a mild asthma is essentially a healthy patient, right? I mean, that's not something that necessarily needs further imaging. So, I realize that it excluded those, but I would have done the study the same way. I would have excluded mild, personally.
I think the thought is, are we picking up findings consistent with severe asthma? Or are we picking up concomitant infections, whether it officially gets diagnosed as pneumonia or not, that just happen to exist in this asthmatic population? So I would like to see similar study applied to all moderately ill respiratory patients presenting. Because a lot of times, too, in this patient population, they may not have a diagnosis of asthma prior to their initial presentation with a, you know, bad respiratory illness, especially that 2 to 5 age range group.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And actually, the authors say that. I mean, I'm going to just quote verbatim one thing they say here. As they say, one hypothesis to explain this finding, and that's, you know, finding ultrasound abnormalities in severe asthma and moderate asthma, may be that asthma exacerbations in children are more likely to be triggered by viral respiratory infections when compared to non-viral triggers, such as, you know, allergens and stuff like that. So I think that that's a great point, and they actually think the same thing.
Now, one little critique between the two groups, since we're comparing, like, how many got x-rays or antibiotics, there were more people that had a fever in the lung ultrasound group. Now, this makes sense, because if you have positive findings, maybe you do have a more serious infection that could lead to that type of response. But this also could have biased the emergency physicians who were ordering x-rays, or they were ordering antibiotics for these people. It could have accounted for some of the differences we saw there between the groups. One thing that worried me in this study was that in the methodology, they talked about how the sonographer was going to be obtaining the images, but then when we were looking at all these different things, we were going to use the interpretation by the expert. And to me, that kind of smelled a bit like a radiology setup. You know, someone else doing the study and then someone else interpreting it. That goes against the fundamentals of point-of-care ultrasound, which is that one person is at the bedside doing the scan, interpreting, and making medical decisions based on it. I don't think it actually changed too much in this study because their correlation was so high, but it made me a little bit suspicious about that.
I agree. It's not what happens at 3 a.m. You don't have your expert available unless they're, you know, texting videos to somebody else. So I think that's an important point.
Now, the last thing I wanted to bring up as a discussion point, in this study, it almost seems like they're trying to do a couple different things at the same time. Either they're trying to determine alternate etiologies for their respiratory distress with their asthma, or they're trying to prognosticate how these asthmatics are going to do, who's sicker. And so I want to hear your guys' opinion on how you do this. If you had a patient that came in, you suspect it's asthma, then they have a positive lung ultrasound, say they just have, you know, B lines on one side, or maybe you see a consolidation on one side, is that going to change your management in suggesting alternate etiologies, or are you just going to now think, oh, this is a sicker patient with asthma?
It might make me take the next step, I would say. I don't think it would make me think it's just a sicker patient with asthma, personally. I think if I find focal lung findings, I'm worried about viral versus bacterial pneumonia on top of asthma. So I might, you know, if I found positive lung findings, I might be more inclined to get those respiratory viral swabs to keep them in OBS, just knowing that their rate of decline is much higher if they have a concomitant infection.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so you take the whole clinical picture into account here and use ultrasound as part of that.
Yeah, I think that's my take home from this, is that ultrasound can be used to help restratify these sick asthmatics to decide, is it just asthma or is it asthma plus? That was kind of my takeaway from this.
So just to summarize the study, this was a convenience sample of 60 patients who came in. They all had asthma. And when you had a positive lung ultrasound finding, it seemed to correlate with more sick children. So they got admitted more, they stayed in the emergency department more, they got antibiotics more, whereas having a totally normal ultrasound, they seemed to do better and 100% went home in this study. Pretty impressive.
So it's not really like it didn't really help that much with diagnosis, but it helped immensely with prognostication.
There you go. All right, well, thanks to the authors for performing this study, and thank you for listening. I do want to say that if you enjoy our podcast, which we hope you do, you can subscribe to it using any podcasting app or device that you use, as well as you can go visit our website, ultrasoundgel.org, where you can view all of our posts, search through the posts, view new, other, current articles that we may not do a podcast about, and also sign up for our mailing list where you'll get frequent updates. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can tweet, you can email, or you can post comments under individual show notes.
Or a carrier pigeon.
We also accept carrier pigeons.
I accept notes attached to rocks and launched by trebuchets.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.
Hey, that's the race of aliens from Marvel Comics. So it's kind of a compliment because they're super strong, and they're immortal also.